Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 539, Through the Lens of Time.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And we're going through the lens of time.
Through the lens of time.
Okay, we've both seen this episode. What does that mean?
I don't know.
There are some old things, which I guess constitutes time.
I think it's a real lost opportunity that they didn't call this episode Roger Corby's Mystery Temple.
I suppose so.
If they called it Roger Corby's Mystery Temple, you'd be like, yeah, I understand why it's called that.
When we were watching this, Tilo was like, his name's Roger? You don't really hear of a lot of fictional characters named Roger anymore. And it's like, well, they locked in the 60s.
It was a very Roger-heavy era
back then.
Yes, that name made a big comeback.
I guess so.
Like a lot of old names.
That's true. Next week, we get Ensign Mildred, I guess.
Mm-hmm. This is like when I read comics now, and I'm like, a lot of people named Hank. Well,
mm-hmm.
It was a very popular name in 1966.
It's very Hank.
Mm-hmm. Hank.
Enrico Matassa is very Hank. All right. So it's my turn to tell what happens. So let me tell you what happens.
Yeah, tell me what happens. And tell the other people too, but tell me.
I gotta picture you all naked, including you.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Roger Corby, still dating Christine and still very much playing the extremely original series part of arrogant non-crew member who somehow gets to tell the crew where to take the ship and what to do when they get there, brings the Enterprise to Vadia 9. Memory Alpha informs me that Vadia 9 was the long-forgotten homeworld of the Q, citing Trelane's mention of this in a single line of dialogue a couple of episodes back. Insert JPEG of that guy throwing his arms up in frustration and shouting, "I guess!" Corby believes the secret to immortality is on this planet, so he drags an away team down to investigate. Said away team consists of his girlfriend, of course, Spock and his new girlfriend La'an, and Uhura and her new boyfriend Umberto Ortegas. Also Ensign Gamble, aka the new hotness in sickbay, and some alien ambassador. I can only assume from the established pattern that these two are also dating. Which sucks for their emerging love story because the extremely video game-ish traps and the exceptionally video game-ish temple they're exploring pokes Gamble's eyes out and vaporizes the ambassador entirely. "Well," says Dr. Mbenga, "I don't have anything that cures being vaporized, but I can probably grow that kid some new eyes. Although we'll probably forget how to do this in 70 years when Geordi LaForge really needs it." So, he brings the new hotness in sickbay back home to sickbay. And because Mbenga is such an accomplished doctor, he quickly upgrades Gamble's condition from missing a couple of eyes to missing a couple of eyes and also possessed by an alien demon. Or probably a daemon. I probably should have expected this when Chapel accessed the alien temple with, in the show's actual words, blood magic. Meanwhile, downstairs on the planet, the away team gets separated by dimensional quantum or phase variance or inverted causality or some other extremely Voyager-ish sounding bullshit. After some tediously prolonged fuckery involving dimensions, this results in what is basically a shot-for-shot remake of the big third act set piece from Last Crusade, with Chapel and Spock playing the role of the penitent man who kneels before God. Then they all escape. Well, the ones who didn't already get vaporized are blinded anyway. Back on the Enterprise, the demon wearing Gamble's skin kills a guy and gets in a fight with Captain Batel, whose spooky Gorn DNA gives her an edge in the fight. Oh good, I was hoping the show wouldn't just sweep that under the rug. I hope we get 10 or 30 more episodes about that. Then Pelia shoots the Gamble demon in the back, and Scotty shoves it in the transporter buffer. Which I suppose makes this the first canonical occurrence of Scotty causing a problem to be no tribble at all.
And then the episode ends with a spooky shot of Mbenga
glitching.
Mbenga's looking at the DNA and it cuts to a fucking, like, once he walks away, it turns into evil for a second, which is an ending I first saw in an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark when I was 10.
And I'm sure that was riffing on already a century of, like, you know, did they really kill it or is it coming back? Yeah, all right.
Oh, we put it in the computer and now it lives in the ship.
Now, I don't have a proper spoiler, but I did nearly get one when I was. So Memory Alpha's got fuck all on this episode, but they do talk about all the
shockingly
things
fuck all on this episode.
Yeah, like no summary. Like, because I wanted to know what the planet's name was and little shit like that I didn't want to have to rewatch the whole episode to find out. And they do have their sort of cross-reference list of like all the things that appear in it, like all the people and all the planets and stuff. So I was able to find it that way. And I inadvertently discovered that we do return to some of this later this season. So we're not done with this yet. But I did not discover the details of that. I just know we're going to come back to this planet, and presumably the evil, like the fake gamble in the computer, is going to come out or whatever dumb shit. Ugh. Good. We need more of that, and we need more Gorn shit too.
Yeah, I'm really excited that this episode, this season's bad guy is going to be Evil Q.
Mm-hmm.
An interdimensional bucket.
The Q thing, like I said, is very like blink and you miss it. Like, because, I do remember in the Wedding Bells episode a couple weeks ago, like, Trelane saying Corby was digging on this planet, which was the old homeworld, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I get that. I get that the Q started as corporeal and then they evolved, because that's a very Star Trek, like, we evolved beyond bodies. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I've never known what that means, but
it means you turn into a little glowy thing and play at the edge of the universe.
But that's not well.
Until
that's
it's
the
time
end
to
of,
come back for season 7.
Yeah,
or 8.
Wither season 7.
Yeah, it's time to come back for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes, exactly. But the right people will get that reference, by the way.
Yes.
But I don't know. Like, I hope they don't do more connecting this to the Q, because we already had one of DS9's few dumb ideas with the Paw Wraiths, and we gotta do evil Qs now too. Qs are already kind of evil.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're at best annoying, and at worst fucking, like, show you the Borg.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I don't like the whole fucking, like, we did this with the Gorn already, where it's just like, they're evil. They're only evil, and they love doing evil to things.
Well, this actually brings me to my quote at the end.
Yes.
I got really irritated at first with Pellia because she says this speech here, but she kind of saves it at the end.
Were they evil, Captain? I saw the recordings of what Gamble did and the things he said.
Good and evil are relative terms, son.
Nonsense. There is evil in this universe. As sure as there is good. As sure as there is matter, as sure as there is light, I know that being was ancient, malevolent, the desire to malign, to pervert, and consume, giving corporal form. If any of those things ever escape that well down there, God help us all. You want one for the camera?
See, because that's for Ortegas's brother's documentary.
Yep.
And she's been a real, like, ham about that, and I love
it. Earlier in the episode, when he's basically, like, taping them while they're in a meeting, and Pellia keeps like mugging to the camera and posing and just like yes, and also a thing we should be worried. Should I take that again? I love it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I agree. And here I was like, come on, you're an engineer and you've seen a lot of shit, and like there's no scientific basis for evil. What are you talking about? Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
And she may have been serious, I don't know, but I feel like you can discount all that because she was, you know, playing the camera. So that's all right.
It's the most fucking, like, Guinan would do that kind of shit back on TNG, where it's like, you know, they're the Borg. I've seen them, like, before, and, like, they're pure evil and whatever. Which, look, I get that as an opinion after someone blows up your homeworld, but
I mean, the thing is, the Borg, they're not so much evil as they are indifferent, and like, they will just keep coming. That's not not exactly the same as evil, but it's...
Yeah, I don't know if they're evil. They're assholes.
Yeah, yeah. Then again, living when and where we do, there is evil.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I just don't think that it's like a force. I just think that, like,
yeah,
you know, people are fucking evil.
When people with power are allowed to do whatever they want and what they do is terrible, that's evil.
Yeah, and have no consequences for anything.
Mm-hmm. And become fucking trillionaires.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? He may be a trillionaire, but he still looks like a frog and he's never landed a joke, so...
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the point, my point and my larger point is, mm-hmm. I've said this over and over again for 500 some episodes of this show for 15 years now.
Yep.
Like, this is a science show. Mm-hmm. Quit it with the magic and the evil and the like blood magic. They literally say blood magic. Like, and this is my bad thing. Like, I was really vibing with the first half of the episode. There was a lot.
Yeah,
of
you and me love a fucking space temple.
I am currently, well, I don't, the temple part of it, I could take or leave, but I do like space archaeology.
Yes.
I am currently reading a series of books that started in the 70s, the Gateway books by Frederick Pohl, which are like considered classic, like the sci-fi books. And there's a lot of ancient space, like technology, you know, like mysterious alien ancient race. And like, that's my shit, man.
Yeah.
And I was all for this. And then it was all possessions and monsters and chasing shit through the corridors of the Enterprise again. And Battelle's little Gorn monster coming out like the fucking Spaceballs alien parody thing, like doing a little dance and fighting fucking Eyeless Joe. And just
that shit sucked, by the way. Just like
all dumb.
She's just doing the hand clap.
And she does that thing that you are probably not irritated by, but I am, because it's to me a horror movie cliche that turn your neck like and a sinister look, like, okay, yeah, you turned your head, so spooky.
I mean, like, I was distracted by my bad thing while that shit was going on.
Well, I'm done, so go ahead.
Yeah, which is fucking possessed Gamble getting into some real embarrassing your mother sucks cocks in hell bullshit. There's a bit where fucking, like, I forget if it's to Mbenga or the guy he's talking to when he's in jail, where he's just fucking like, I'm gonna eat her screams and drink her tears.
Oh,
fuck
no.
Off.
I wrote this down. This he's trying to get under Mbenga's skin about his abandoning his daughter, and he says, "Are you sure what came back was your daughter and not some being that drank her tears and fed off her screams?" Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And I like the idea of him like getting to Mbenga through, you know, his worrying about his daughter, who he hopefully did the right thing by, you know?
Yeah,
there's something to that.
Definitely some lingering doubt there. Like, I think I did the right thing, but there was so many unknowns that maybe something went wrong. I'm not sure.
It's just like, we are the creatures that perch on your bed. when you wake up screaming, it is Darkseid's name that you call.
But you like that guy.
Oh, I like it when Darkseid does it. I don't like it when this dude does it.
Okay. The thing is, this kind of ties into my good thing. Not that. I agree with you 100% on that. But, like, I liked Gamble. I'm sorry to see him gone. Like,
I was sorry to lose him, you know?
Like, we got him for a little bit in the first or second episode of the season where he's like, where they were like, oh, yeah, you're the fill-in for Chapel. Oh, Chapel's back. Well, you know what? I really like you. You're going to stay, too. And, like, it was so cute. He's so excited. And in this one, he gets his first away mission, and he's so enthusiastic, and he's trying to hide it to look professional, and he's not doing a great job because he's just so excited. Like, I love the junior officer who's gets to be on the best ship in the fleet and gets to serve under... like, Mbenga's probably one of the most celebrated doctors, I would imagine, if he's chief of surgery on the Enterprise, right? Like,
yeah.
So he gets to work with the best doctor on the best ship and like, oh my God, this is all happening for me. And he's so cute.
When he gets the assignment, he hugs Mbenga, and that is so fucking cute.
Mm-hmm.
I love this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sorry to see him go.
Yeah, especially like, this way.
I will say, they did a good job. Like, this show, I liked it better when it was more episodic. Like, they're getting more serialized, but one of the things they do well is invest us in a character if they're going to kill them off.
Yes.
And it's not just, oh, we met this guy in Act 1 and he's dead by Act 3, who cares? Like, we got a couple episodes to get to know him, and now his death hurts a little, you know? Like, that's,
yeah, it's
that's
not
good.
It's not the old-ass red shirt cliche where it's like, and this guy's coming along, so clearly he'll be the one that a rock explodes on, you know?
Yeah, or like, Counselor Troy's romantic interest of the week. Like,
exactly.
Who's this guy? They have no... they met 3 minutes ago.
Like, this episode starts, and I'm like, oh, shit, Gamble's leveling up to fucking, like, he's joining the cast. That's awesome. We get to watch the, we get to watch this guy, you know?
Yeah.
And then when he dies, it fucking sucks.
Yep. And also, we don't even know that he's dead for a while.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like. Like, Mbenga, when he brings him back to the ship, he says, well, this says your brain is gone, which can't be right. That's not a thing.
I loved that.
And it turns out, no, this thing's just been using him as a puppet this whole time.
Yeah.
And he's been gone. And like, you pointed this out and I kind of put this together, but you really crystallized it. You said like, yeah, he's when those moments where you think it's him, he's pretending to be him.
Yes.
To, like, really just like turn the screws. And it's very good.
That's like it's whenever he's goes into full on evil mode, I'm just like, ugh, whatever. But when he's like when he's this guy that I like, who's just like, what's wrong with me? I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, it's me. What help?
Yeah, it's so fucking and he surrenders at one point and just like, OK, what's going to happen to me? It's like, we're going to help you. Come on. We got to put you in the brig because you killed a guy. But, you know, like it's OK. We're going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
All that shit's good.
They could be. I'm so weary of possession episodes, but they had a couple of good bits in here. Yeah.
The actor was up to it.
It's just It was all in the writing. It was not because he didn't sell it. It was because the writing was real flat.
Yeah. It just like really let down by like fucking what do monsters sound like?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Put in boogity, boogity, boogity. We'll figure something out later.
And they never did.
Nope. Boogity.
Well, you mentioned that. There was a lot of that in this. There was a lot of first draft things. I saw in your notes you mentioned the sort of tagline at the end of the pre-credits teaser.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what it is
like,
now.
We're going to need a bigger away team or something.
That's
like that.
It. We're going to need a bigger away team. That sucked.
Yeah.
Like, that's your go-to-credits line, huh? Like a fucking Jaws riff.
And the thing is, they're at this archaeological site. They do a huge fucking laser triangle, so you must have been thrilled about that.
Oh, I was delighted. That was a massive laser triangle. And then, like, the ship shot stuff from space.
Yeah, and then this massive temple that wasn't there just appears. And, like, it's a good, like, stinger moment for, like, okay, here's your hook. And then she says that.
Yeah, it's just like, what a bring down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just take all that cool shit and just, like... And then just zoom in on fucking Christine while she goes, you remember Jaws? You see Jaws? Good movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just like, piss.
Yeah, and you love Jaws, but...
I do love Jaws, but like, I don't... If there's one thing Lower Decks taught me, it's that I hate when someone points a big sign at a thing I love and goes, remember this?
Yeah, that really broke me. Like, we used to love that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And... I don't think Lower Decks did it to me. I think I was already getting there myself, but they really...
Well, I mean, part of it is also that this is just the world we live in now. Like, it's not just Lower Decks. Everything does this now.
I know. And this is partially not our fault specifically, but the fault of people like us. Like we loved this shit. When we started this show, we were all about that kind of thing. And we've grown a bit. That's all.
Yeah. I don't know.
And
we're old now.
Pop culture hasn't. But pop culture's trying to appeal to that, and like I get it, but that's not me anymore.
Yeah.
What was your good thing?
So speaking of that temple, I love that fucking infinite temple. I thought it was really fucking cool. Like I said, I love space archaeology. I love it when you dig up shit on various planets. I really liked the crew figuring out they're in the same room in different dimensions and having to work together about that. It's a real fucking escape room point and click moment for me.
Yeah, that's what I didn't like about all this. It felt so video gamey. Like,
oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't know. Like, and I wish I had a better criticism than they should come up with something else. But like, I don't know. I feel like I've seen this basic thing, well, in Voyager for one. Like,
sure.
Everybody's out of phase with each other, which they love doing.
Voyager did love when things were out of phase with other things.
But also, I don't know, something about the setup of all this being so video gamey felt very Discovery. It felt very other episodes of this show. Like I wasn't seeing anything I hadn't seen a lot before.
Sure.
And I didn't much care for it. That's all.
But I see
what you liked about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm also like, I'm a sucker full of ancient, like for temples full of ancient weird shit. And there's like floating platforms and stuff. And like in the background, the temple's shifting around and changing. Fucking happy birthday to me. This is all exactly the kind of crap I want to look at.
I could see that. I thought they're hanging out
in an Escher painting.
Yeah. Well, that's what they were trying for. I didn't think the effect didn't really work for me. It just mostly just felt like, do I need my glasses for this?
Mm-hmm. Well, you do need, if you're doing something like that, you do need someone walking up a stairs that's going down, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
but we can't have everything.
Where would you put it? But it makes me think of the Futurama gag where it's like episode 2 or something where he's looking for an apartment and they do the Escher joke where he falls up the stairs. He's like,
yeah,
I don't know if I can afford this many dimensions.
Yep.
But early in the episode, when we set everything up on the ship and we're like, is Spock over Christine yet? Is she jealous of like all the soap opera shit I was really into?
Yeah. I really like Spock and La'an together is not a pairing I would have expected, but I kind of like it. And I like, Christine basically grabs La'an and is like, okay, like, I don't want to be weird or anything, but like, is Spock okay? Like, I still care about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you guys cool? And La'an's like, look, we're just doing this and fucking, it's nothing major or whatever, you know? And I like, I like that as also a thing for Spock, just like, all right, well, that didn't work. Let's try this for a while, you know?
Yeah. Some human cultures are into this no strings attached, just like fling thing. Let me try that.
Yeah. I really have been enjoying as an arc for Spock in this series, the just like, I don't like, I'm kind of adrift and just figuring things out now. Like, I've enjoyed that every time it comes up.
Yeah, like, all these emotions are a lot for me. What do I do with them?
Yeah.
And I like it. I don't dislike it either. I don't love it. But from the other side of that, La'an continuing to be a multifaceted character who's not just screaming about the Gorn being monsters. Like, I enjoyed her having a holodeck adventure. I enjoy her knowing how to dance. And, like, she's got more things to her now. And I'm into it. And she's also, because of all this, and presumably because she's let go some of her Gorn baggage, which is like snakeskin boots or whatever, but made out of Gorn.
No, I would have assumed a crocodile skin suitcase. But
Yeah. But like Gorn baggage.
Yeah.
She is more casual now. Like she's like, I don't know. And like on the planet, she's like, we need to be careful, but she's not like screaming about, you know, pointing favors or shit and all that. It's like, she's being a sensible security chief instead of a fucking like gun crazy fucking loon, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice.
No, like we really did not like this character in season one, and she has really come around since then, you know? Like,
I mean, I'm sure people have noticed I stopped calling her Khan Jr. because she stopped just being about the one thing.
Yeah.
So,
No, is she my favorite character? No, but, like, I like her being part of the cast now. Like,
yes. Now there really isn't a crew member that I, like, in any given episode, it's like, it's about this one? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't think of anyone that's like, oh, not them. Which is nice.
Yeah.
Corby sucks in a way that I enjoy.
Not great. Like, you can see why that shit didn't work out.
But I like it.
Yeah.
Like, I like to dislike him. I like that he's all schmoopy with Christine and real shitty to everyone else. Like, I thought at first he was being shitty to Spock because that's his girlfriend's ex, but like at one point Gamble is like, I can't believe I'm working with you, it's an honor, and he goes to shake his hand and Corby just looks at him like,
shake
the kid's head. Someone is starstruck by how great you are. Shake your hand, man.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's just saying, it's such an honor to work with you because you are so great. What is the harm?
Yeah, what, like, what?
If you're arrogant, what you want to do is build up your rep to make people think you're great, and so you lean into that.
Yeah. That's how it worked with that annoying guy on Discovery whose name I can't remember anymore.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
I do. The guy they kind of modeled after Elon Musk, but was...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my brain's screaming Lorca. Like, no, that's a different guy.
No, that's a different man.
Yeah, I know exactly who you mean, though. Tarka.
Yeah. Yes, Tarka. Thank you.
Tarka Fintin Limbim Wimbim Bustop Fatang Fatang Will Leave Us the
Girl. Great mop. Great mop Tarkin.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else?
What else? What else happened? We stand around a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of standing around. We both have a lot of notes about, wait a minute, you can grow eyes?
Oh, yeah, I wanted to get into this, because, like, especially if you know that you're killing him at the end of the episode, and it doesn't matter if you grow him eyes or not, like, this would be a real good opportunity to, like, bring out, like, a 60s version of, like, a visor or something, and be
It looks like a VR headset or something on him. Like, but that's just to protect his eyes. That's not to.
Yeah, I assumed it was protect and monitor his eyes.
Yeah, not to help him see.
Like this, I like in concept the idea that it's like, yeah, we can regrow like body parts and stuff. Like they get into that in Lower Decks a whole bunch, and I don't mind that.
No,
but also, that's way off in the future.
Yeah, that is post TNG era. That's after Geordi has new eyes, so it makes sense that they could do that now. But like Geordi, because at one point they talked about like sort of the primitive treatments they would have had that would have left him kind of okay, and he says, I think it was to Pulaski. He says like, I don't want that.
Yeah,
like I don't want to half-ass see. I want to see or not see. Like
yeah, exactly.
And it's just weird that they could regenerate eyes at this stage.
Yeah, exactly.
And they must know one of the best-known characters on one of the best-known series wore a visor. Like, how? They can't not know that.
Exactly. And, like, that was a thing they would, again, on Lower Decks, apparently a show I love talking about in this episode, like, they had people in the background just wearing visors, which was a thing I really liked.
I liked it okay, but...
Look, just as, like, a thing that, like, and there's a character over there that just happens to have a visor. Like, I thought that was cool, you know?
In the abstract, I agree with you, but that was just one more way they could say, hey, next gen, huh?
I mean, you're not wrong.
Next gen, huh? Okay, whatever.
But no, this would have been a perfect fucking opportunity to be like, oh, you know, like, we've got this thing, you know, and I'll start fitting you for one.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else? Like, I was so irritated by all the explanations of the multidimensional stuff. It was so Voyager.
Yeah.
And they may have used the word quantum more than Terry Pratchett.
Uh-huh. Well, no one knows what quantum is, so.
Nope. Exactly.
The bit where they realize that you need to fucking give a blood sacrifice to get into the temple.
Uh-huh.
And Christine just sticks her hand on an old nail.
Yeah, that's fine.
An old mysterious space nail that didn't exist? Fucking, like, the fuck is wrong with you?
Surely this evil temple didn't give her space tetanus. It's fine.
Yeah. Fucking, like, Gamble, because he's great, runs over and just like, hey, are you okay? Let's maybe check you for evil Q tetanus or something. But no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fine.
He is a nurse, but also so famously is Nurse Chapel. So, you know.
Yep. There's a bit in this episode, speaking of Nurse Chapel, when she's walking down a hallway in on the ship, and she is the whitest person alive, wearing a white jumpsuit with her bleached blonde hair and just her extremely pale complexion standing in the whitest fucking hallway.
What you see is her eyebrows floating there.
Yeah, I just wrote down that this is a polar bear blinking in a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe was a Calvin and Hobbes thing.
I mean, that's an old joke, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think he used that there.
But I'm sure I saw it for the first time in a Calvin and Hobbes strip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe let's put a rug or something down, really break up the break this up a bit.
Nope. It's fine. It's all fine.
They do a reverse shot, and there's like one of those red Star Trek doors, and it looks like the gates of hell.
Well, maybe it is, because evil.
Evil!
Uh-huh. Welcome to the world of evil! what else?
Gamble picks up one of the glowy things that are full of evil.
Oh, the orbs.
Evil orbs, and it explodes. And yeah. All I go is, the Jedi called them holocrons, Roger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From a more mysterious time.
Mm. Fucking orbs with demons.
Yeah.
Fuck
it's
off.
It's an evil orb.
And they talk about how the people on this planet, I guess Q, I don't know, like when they went to another dimension, they come back with monsters. Like,
mm-hmm.
Great.
They brought monsters back with them.
Uh-huh. Good. Great.
Uh-huh.
It's fucking flatliners. Great.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Is that it? God, is that it? That might be it.
I like because the second half was. I have very little specific to talk about. I was irritated.
Just dumb and boring and fucking. Back upstairs so our beloved character Battelle can go.
Mm-hmm. They are making Battelle up to look a little older. Like I had said before, she seemed a bit young to be a captain. And I think that was just hair and makeup. Like,
yeah.
She looked more captain age to me.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I noticed.
Well, also, like, she's wearing her civvies in this one, and she looks like someone's mom.
Yeah, but, like, someone's hot mom, let's be
clear. Oh, yeah.
And...
yeah, I think that might be it.
Yep. Scotty... putting the thing in the transport buffer, which again, like they sure acted like he invented that in Relics, but whatever. At this point, that's just the thing we do.
Yes, fine.
But they mentioned using the transporter buffer as a dimensional prison, which is like, oh, you just invented the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, exactly. We'll put all our Kryptonian criminals in here.
Mm-hmm. It's fine. They'll never get out. The space mirror won't just break out in space.
I do like a big spinning space mirror.
Yeah, me too, man. What three words are we going to say when we're inside the spinning hoops? Okay. Anything else?
I think that's everything I got.
All right. Well, next week we have a title I hate. Hopefully I won't hate the episode. The Salot Who Ate Its Tail.
Yes, he was like, om nom nom.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's that thing where like Klingons have one animal and it's a tar,
yeah.
And Vulcans have one animal and it's a Salot. Like,
yep,
you could. That's it. Okay, whatever. But that's all for this time. As ever, if you want to write to us, it is postatomichorror@gmail.com. When we're done with season 4 of Strange New Worlds, I believe we'll be doing a mail show. So that's 15 episodes from now, which is not that many.
It'll be gone before you know it.
And then we'll do what there is of Academy, and then we're waiting again. So
yeah.
The website, as ever, postatomichorror.com, and the Patreon is patreon.com/algar. For as little as a buck, you get this and a bunch of other stuff, and we appreciate it if you are doing that already. And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Post-Atomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2026. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.